Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's March 8th, 2017, and we're still working out a couple of the little bugs here in the studio. Think it's working. Hopefully you're hearing our voice well. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends, Jason, yeah. Pastor Jason. And we're just trying to work through some of the equipment here. It seems a little different than usual, and so not quite sure if a setting or two was changed while we were gone, but I'm glad we were here a few minutes early to get everything fired up and checked out. But it looks like it's starting to shake hands a little better if you can look at the audio going out over the air. But welcome to the Wednesday edition, and we missed y'all.
Yeah.
Did you feel missed? But lots of neat ways that God was at work, and we anticipate him continuing to use this radio ministry in a number of unique ways. And are you hearing me okay through the headset?
I hear you great. You sound good.
So. I got to turn up my...
Now you're hypersensitive. That's the problem.
Yeah, that's it. Almost over jet lag, I think. A fairly decent night's sleep last night, but I don't know. We had a listener call the first night home. I think we went to sleep around 1:30. And, I don't know, about 3:30 in the morning, the phone rings. That's the radio hotline, kind of. And that number's been published in one of the directories. So every so often, somebody will call on that line. And sure enough, it's like, oh, 3 in the morning, this must be an emergency or something. And come to find out the next day, finally, when I got in touch with the person, they were just wondering what song was playing at the time. I was like, oh. And then the next night, I forget what it was. I think just jet lag. And then the other night, it was that big storm 2 nights ago.
Yeah.
It came through, and I think we'll hopefully be on a regular pattern. But it's good to be back, getting the center all organized and readied for the ministry work that we'll be doing in the days ahead. And singing men are back, singing in here. We were utilizing the unit next door, and now it looks like this will probably be the permanent home, even though we get to utilize Unit 115B now.
Oh.
So that's where we have the ping pong table and some other chairs, and we're going to get that room ready for maybe additional meetings or gatherings. But for now, it looks like this will be our primary center of ministry for Great News Radio. And so if you want to stop by in the days ahead, usually we're open 10 to 5. We have tote bags and Tootsie Pop banks and program guides and yard signs. In fact, in a month or two, probably after April, because those April showers bring May flowers. We don't want to put all these Great News Radio signs up to get wet in April. As the ground thaws out and people can poke these steel signs into their yards, we'll have a big campaign to get the sign out in your yard. But good to be back. We're planning already for that Ivan Parker concert coming in about 3 months on Saturday, June 10th, right here at Lincoln Square. It'll be in and around the food court area, and so we're excited to have Ivan Parker come back. And you can find out more at our website, greatnewsradio.org, greatnewsradio.org. Ivan Parker, joined by the Singing Men of GNN, Saturday, June 10th, and you can find out about tickets and accommodations here at Lincoln Square at our website. Well, you did a lot of posts the last few weeks, I guess, with our Israel trip. I've been sending that link to not only those on the trip, but other friends, inviting them that have been encouraged from past trips to Israel or wanting to see and kind of experience what went on. And I think you did a lot of great posting.
Well, I tried to take a picture or two, or depending upon what was happening. I think it's like the baptismal. I tried to take a picture, or I had somebody take a picture. We were in the water. I couldn't take any pictures. But I tried to have pictures of everywhere we were so that when we left, we could make a quick post so people could kind of keep up with not only where their loved ones are at, but then what did it look like? You know, just to give a little inkling of what it... And it kind of seemed to be a number of people are like, wow, that looks great. I want to go there. I want to be a part of that. And so I think it was just enough for people to say, wow, I've never contemplated going to the land of Israel, but I really think I want to.
Yeah, lots of great feedback. We tried to have you involved. We know that it was only a few that could go, and many of you, because of resources or scheduling or other reasons, couldn't make it or could maybe never make it. But we wanted to include you because it always has a life-changing impact on those that go and see the Bible come alive, sitting at the very site where these biblical events took place. And many blessings communicated through those 32, 33 that rededicated their lives in the cold River Jordan.
It was cold.
Yes.
It was cold.
Both of us were going to see who would turn bluest first. But it was a grand occasion for people basically sharing a little testimony and what they wanted to be prayed for before we went down and then got into the river. But that was a powerful moment for many of us, along with various sites where God showed up in unique ways. So, great blessing. We appreciate your prayers. I know many of you had sent loved ones or new friends that were going, and we tried to take care of them and pamper them and allow God to pour into them. And I think we'll hear in the coming days just the impact that they're having on their church or their family or their community. So appreciate your prayers and your support and your involvement. It was truly a 10-day pilgrimage.
Yeah, it was interesting. It really was. I mean, we had a lot of places where I think people walked away, breathless is maybe the wrong way to say it, but it was a lot for them to take in, and they were trying to understand, you know, not only the place and the site and the geography and all of that, but also the way the Lord was speaking to them in that moment. You know, it's kind of interesting. We did devotions in the morning, and one of the people...
Early morning devotions.
Well, yeah, I didn't think it was that early based on when you're jet-lagged and you're up at 2, 6 was late. But, you know, we had some people who were, you know, who had said during the devotional time, you know, I came to see the evidence of the Bible, but then kind of said, I didn't realize how overwhelmed I would be by it. You know, I thought I would simply kind of categorize evidence. This is this, so I know it must be true, and this is this because I know it must be true. And one of the things I really try and do when we're there is to say, you're sitting in the place. Like, this is the, I want to impress upon people the physicality of the place, that God did choose to be in this place, and he chose to walk here and speak here, and that you are in this place, which is, I think it's, you know, somebody had said when we were at Caesarea Maritima, which would have been the fortress where Pontius Pilate would have been. And somebody said, gosh, I never really thought that the Apostle Paul was in here speaking in Acts 26. Yeah. And just the power of being in a place and realizing that, yeah, there may be 2,000 some odd years removed, but this place is real and a real thing happened here. And that real thing was the Apostle Paul in all kind of boldness and love for the Lord shared his heart, shared the gospel, and how the gospel had transformed him. And so I think it was interesting. It was powerful for people. I think there was a sense of, in certain places, real awe, where people were just in awe of what God did and how God would do it. And I think it was evidenced by, we had some really powerful times of prayer, powerful times where we anointed with oil and we did different things that we felt the Lord was leading us to do in those places. And all of it was impactful, and he used it, you know, even as we hear the testimony on the back end, God used it powerfully in people's lives.
Yeah, we had some fun, some great camaraderie. I know some of the dancing on the Sea of Galilee, and yet those touching moments like in the pit at Caiaphas' house where people identified in maybe new or deeper ways that this quite possibly could have been where Jesus was left alone in the dark after being brutalized and abandoned and hurting. And yet we read some of the scriptures. Actually, Larry Bunning read a few sections of scripture that Jesus would have been familiar with, but it talks about being abandoned and crying out and being left for dead, basically, and just brought new meaning to all of our hearts and minds. And, oh, I don't know, so many different things. It's still a bit overwhelming. It's one of these trips where after you get back, it kind of takes weeks to process or think through, or suddenly you read a scripture and it triggers a memory, or you see with these new lenses now that you've seen the land or experienced something with a group. And we'll probably have a reunion or two down the road and see how God will kind of further his work, because he, if you will, has entrusted this trip to those delegates to then breathe life into their communities, their homes, their families, and we'll see the impact that it'll have in the days ahead. And that's what makes it worthwhile, I think, for both of us. You love to teach, and you were up early, I think, every morning. You said, you know, the Lord at 3 a.m., at 4 a.m., put this on my heart, and I feel compelled to share that along with these insights and so many blessings. And we had some prayer services where we prayed over a few of the pilgrims and sought after God to bring healing and hope and change and restoration. And so many of the members shared prayer requests of family members and relatives. And just a great time. And the service projects, especially the Bridges for Peace, was a wonderful organization that ministers to people. Mm-hmm. And that was a team exercise. Did we do like 1,500 or 2,000 of those grocery bags?
Oh, I don't know, because we were in a different part where we did little baskets for Purim for kids. And so we were in a different area.
Okay, I think it was 1,500 or 2,000. A couple big pallets of groceries. There were 13 mm-hmm. items that we had to pack and put together and double bag and knot and tie. And that was really encouraging. We didn't get to donate blood this time, mm-hmm. but got to serve at the Ethiopian Center to some of the small children, yep. brought a lot of teddy bears and school supplies. And even Eitan, he emailed me a few days ago, and there were some leftover bears. And his daughter teaches autistic and special needs children, mm-hmm. and they just had a field day. They loved them. She shared some of those things mm-hmm. with them. And, yeah, a lot of good takeaways. Did you have a favorite site this time or a favorite experience?
I think it was the Southern Steps. I mm-hmm. think that was probably it was probably the most impactful for me. But I think the whole trip, in fact, I actually wrote an article for it'll go out to our church at some point during the week about that. And I there were a lot of great things that I would say were blessings on the trip. A lot of stuff that I would say, gosh, this was wonderful, and that was wonderful, and this was wonderful. Mm. But probably one of the greatest blessings on the trip, and it may seem kind of crazy, was just being up early and spending time with the Lord. I mean, yeah. you know, in John 15, Jesus tells us that we need to abide in Him. And I think that when we're home, there's a real battle to abide. You know, there's so many things that want to kind of take our gaze off of Jesus, to take us away from reading our Bibles, to take us away from praying. And sometimes it's easier to abide when we go away somewhere and we're not kind of having all these things tugging on us. And so for me, one of the real blessings was just those early mornings, being able to just hear clearly mm-hmm. what the Lord was saying and what He was directing and how He was just calling us back to abide yeah. in Him. And that's where the real power is in abiding. You know, I think that there's so many things that want to rob us of our vine time, you know. And Jesus says we need to be connected to the vine. That is the abiding piece. That's the important piece. That's where the nourishment and the power comes from. And there's so much that wants to rob us. And I think one of the great blessings, you know, on these trips is that you can be connected unabashedly to the vine, because there's nothing else to pull you away. You're in these sites where these things happen. Your Bibles are open. There's biblical teaching. There's prayer. I mean, you're constantly being able to connect yourself to that. And so I think that maybe one of the reasons why when people come back, they talk about, I feel so overwhelmed and there's still so much for me to process and I really haven't been able to get my head around what happened. I think that's because you're overwhelmed in a way that you should be all the time. You know, all the time you should feel a bit overwhelmed, because you've been called by the God of the universe. I mean, I was thinking about this morning. You've been called by the God who hung the sun, moon, and stars in the sky, who is rotating the planets, who is doing all these things. And yet, you know, 2 Chronicles 7:15 says, whose ear is attentive to the prayers that are being prayed in this place. And so, you know, when all these other things don't have your gaze, and I still think when we're in the land, there's still other things that are competing, whether it's the gift shop or I'm hungry or I'm thirsty or those kinds of things. But largely, you're able just to focus on Christ and Him crucified and how the Bible matters to you. And I think that that's powerful for people. I know for me, you know, coming back with a sense of awe, of saying, you know, God is big. I mean, God is big. He preserved, you know, those Southern Steps, that we could walk up to them and put our feet on them, so that we would have no argument about Simeon lifting, you know, hoisting the Lord up and saying, for my eyes have seen the salvation of the Lord, the comfort of Israel, the consolation of Israel. You know, and that's in so many different places. You go on the Sea of Galilee and the sea is still there and the water is still there and the shore is still there. And it's still the place that Jesus walked on. And so you can sit there and you can imagine yourself, you know, 2,000 and some odd years ago, watching Christ walk across the water. You can imagine. These are real places. You're breathing in the same air that Christ breathed, in the same place that He did that. You're considering the lilies and looking at the doves. And so I think that you should be a little bit overwhelmed.
I was thinking of one of those Kesher moments that people talked about. And the Kesher moment, for those that haven't heard me, probably illustrate this over the air over these last 15 or so years, but the English equivalent to the Hebrew word kesher is that Velcro, that connection, mm-hmm. that little hook that people can kind of make with a site or a location yeah. or an experience. But up in Caesarea Philippi, with that mm-hmm. mammoth mountainside, that rock and that cave and all the idol worship that was going on, and that location where Jesus turned to his disciples and basically asked them, who do the people say I am, mm-hmm. and who do you say I am? And where we had those definitive foundational stones that we could lay and saying, you know, Lord, as for me and my house, we'll serve you. Or mm-hmm. where individuals would say, Lord, I believe you are the Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so reaffirming our faith, or for some, maybe verbalizing it for the first time, like in a public setting, where I know mm-hmm. we talked about that, where some of us have practices of, you know, praying with our hands folded, or praying mm-hmm. silently to ourselves, or praying with our hands raised. So it was a stretch for some people maybe to step out of their comfort zone into God's courageous zone to be more verbal, or to see how other people do it. So it was just a neat exchange with 56 people. We always had something going on, or some yeah. activity, or being sidetracked, or moving a lot of different people around. It was wonderful, and yet a little challenging, yet refreshing, because there was always something going on.
Well, the truest, you see, the problem, I think that one of the problems that we suffer from is that there's enough churches out there, there's enough kind of division in the body of Christ. And when I say division, I mean denominational division. All these different kinds of churches, all these different kinds of places, that largely we get to pick who we're going to go to church with. And what the neat thing about the trip is it's generally a gathering of a group of people from all different places. And so it's not the people who you get to pick to be around, but it's the people who God picked for you to be around. Mm-hmm. And so if your heart is open, and for some people it is a stretch. It's hard because like you said, hands are up, hands are down. People pray in different ways. They process in different ways. And the beautiful thing is that can we still, in the midst of those maybe I would say open-handed disagreements, or just think places where we're not necessarily comfortable, still move together, united as one body in Christ. And I think that that's where some of the beautiful things happen, where you could look at the dining room and at dinner time, say, is a great thing. And you could look and see tables full of people that you know they have diversely different backgrounds. And that's a moment where we can learn, where we can say, look, I think that what divides us is far less powerful than what unites us. And I think that that's where we have, look, we serve an awesome God who can take all these different kinds of people and knit them together and then have them experience him in a really powerful way. And that's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really awesome. And so the interesting thing about the trip is a lot of people think they're going on the trip to see the biblical sites. And that is part of it. But there's another part of it where God is working on you by the people he puts around you, where God is building relationships and friendships, where God is revealing where you need to change and convicting you. I mean, the trip has so many different layers. I think that's why we try our best prior to the trip to say this is not a vacation.
Right.
Because vacations are where you go and people serve you and they take care of you and you're always happy. And there are always elements on the Israel trip where it's difficult for me because I know that God's working on my heart. You know, so I think that we've got to, we just praise God for that. I mean, praise God for the way you knit things. And praise God for, I just think that when I look back on the trip, how many great new friendships it seems like that were formed. You know, even for me, I mean, I don't know, I got a whole slew of new Facebook friends now. But I mean, it's just great to have new friends and realize that these are not just new friends like friends. These are new friends in Christ. And that we're journeying together, following Jesus and loving God and loving people. And so I think, gosh, how much better does it get? Now, isn't it crazy, though, that we have to fly 11 hours to go and do that? And coach, no less.
But all for a great reason and a great cause. And I was fascinated by seeing different people's gifts at work, mm-hmm. where at one point we had to call on an ambulance and one of the pilgrims says, I know what it's like to sit in a hospital, especially if a spouse is removed from their loved one because, the doctors are attending to them, and to be all alone. And he said, I really feel called that I should go and sit with the spouse. And I said, oh, that would be great. And, you and I, because we're still leading 50-something other people, can't be everywhere. And so, you know, without naming names, this person says, hey, I'd like to go. And in another case, we wanted to send one of the pilgrims back to the hotel. And it's like, how can we coordinate that? And this other couple said, hey, we'll just go and make sure he gets settled in. You know, right. We're familiar with where he needs to be, and we'll meet up with you later. And just how God had other people that were just real servants and helping and assisting mm-hmm. and getting people on and off the buses. And
well, you know, I mean, there's two ways to look at a trip, and I think you could look at any trip, but this trip specifically, is that God is sovereign or God is not sovereign. I mean, just think about when we had one of the pilgrims had experienced a problem with their blood sugar, and one of the other pilgrims said, oh, I've got a blood sugar test thing here. I packed an extra one. Now, we could all say, well, that person packed an extra one because they wanted to make sure in case the one they had broke, they had another one. But I think God was saying, you're going to pack an extra one because I'm going to need an extra one when we're over there. And so just the loving kindness of God and who God is, and that none of this trip takes God by surprise. In fact, he was preparing us and preparing the land and preparing the hotels and preparing every bit of it to receive us, that he would change us. And so, therefore, none of us can come back. I think maybe one of the things when you talk to people and they say, I feel overwhelmed and things just feel hazy, I think you're coming back and you're different. Yeah. Things are different with you. You cannot any longer be the status quo or be what you were because you know something you didn't know before.
I like what you said right before we went on the air, where one of the individuals said, you know, it was kind of a larger group, and I kind of initially looked at that as a real negative because all those people and so forth, but because of this experience in the Garden of Gethsemane and where God brought to mind this and this individual saying, oh, he got to be one of the last to sign on because we had a bigger bus, and they really thought, wow, Lord, you really had everyone on this trip that needed to be on this trip.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing that God just knits it all together for his glory, and that I think sometimes we try and figure it out. How about this? Sometimes we, instead of abiding, are focused on the evidence. Mm-hmm. You know, we want all the evidence. We want to know why we're here and how it's going to work out and what's next and why it's next and all that. And I think when we're following Jesus, that a lot of it is largely an adventure.
Yeah.
An adventure where we go, I don't know what the next part is. I can't explain what just happened. But what I do know is that I'm abiding in my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's enough.
Mm. And what we do know is that God is good. If you tuned in for the Monday or Tuesday edition, Mark and Friends, you heard that message as preached this past Sunday at the Community Evangelical Free Church in Mahomet by Pastor Jason Schiffo, who joins me today on the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.